And welcome back to Dad's on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and in the studio with me today is Ken Thompson. Good morning, Ken.
Hi, Bill, and hello to everybody listening.
So our guest today is Cindy Rockstein, who is a director and the creator of Cindy Rockstein Publishing. She's been a first woman elected to the board of Dads in Distress Services. She is a PR and marketing and media advisor for Dads in Distress, and she does a lot of speaking roles, public speaking roles about men's health, usually in conjunction with Dads in Distress or sometimes men's sheds. And we're going to be speaking to her today about her new book called Mendemic, Inside the Man Cave.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how are you?
So, Cindy, this book is a platform for men to actually get their voices out there. And in some ways it reflects stereotypes, but also it dispels them. How do you get that dual role there?
Stereotypes come about for a reason, so it's not to sort of dismiss what they are. They're stereotypes about women as there are about men. But I think what's really important is that not everybody fits one mould, irrespective of gender. So it is true that in the book I touch on, you know, a lot of aspects of football and sport, and I have a theory based around chicken parmas, which we can discuss if you like.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's sort of going down that path. But, you know, a lot of my male friends also are along the line of, you know, they're very cultured. They love going to art exhibitions. They like drinking white wine and risotto, and, you know, they completely dispel the myth. But it's absolutely, whether they're sort of in the stereotype or not, it's not dismissing what their story is and what their voice is. And that's really what the platform is for Mendemic. It's a conduit for me to help men voice their story, irrespective of whether they fit a certain stereotype or mould or not.
And you've gone into the man cave and spoken to, is it some 40 men in the course of making the book?
Yes, that's correct. When I first had the idea to do the book, I'd actually written a similar book but from a women's point of view, and I'd spoken to a lot of women, and I only got 25 people who would give up their story, so to speak. And when I came up with the idea of doing the same version of the book but for men, I thought, you know, I don't really think that men are going to write for me, and, you know, men generally aren't that open with their feelings. But what I found is when I spoke to a few friends and said, would you be interested in telling me your story in your own words? So it's really authentic. It's not my words. And they just loved it. They just were just so happy to be given the opportunity. And I guess that's what really started the ball rolling for this. And when I do books like this, I never say to someone what they have to write. I say, just write a story for me about your life that's been really significant for you. And so what I found with Mendemic is that the majority of stories came back were that men were really, really struggling with being able to express their emotions. They just weren't given the opportunity. So it's not that they couldn't, but they just perhaps were labelled as the stereotype that wasn't acceptable for them to discuss their emotions. And I found that just by giving them that platform, they were absolutely lapped it up, and they were fabulous with what they were saying, and it really, really helped a lot of them who are in relationships, because their partners and wives did not know that they had that, not necessarily the capability, but the level of depth of some emotions about some of the issues that were influencing their life. And it actually really was a great leveler for them as well in their relationships too, because they got to discover another side to their, you know, to their men that they hadn't discovered before. So I think that's like, that's one of the beautiful messages that I've come away with from this book.
Yes, so you found the men willing to contribute. Maybe that had something to do with you as well, as being a good listener.
But yes, I think so too. And I think a lot of it, the first bit they're a bit wary to start with in terms of, well, and this is a question I always get asked, is why is a woman writing about men's health? And, you know, I always say it doesn't really matter what gender you are. Your story is your story, whether you're a man, woman or child. So the point was that I think when they got over that aspect, they were actually almost more on my side, because I was sort of taking that extra leap of faith and being a woman talking about men's health. I think that they really sort of then thought, well, she's really genuine and I can believe in what she's saying, and I trust her with my story. I mean, a lot of these stories are very, very revealing. They're very raw. They're very vulnerable and exposing to men, and that's why I feel, you know, really honoured to be able to have carried the story and caught the story for them and then respected it and put it in a way that they would find appropriate and honest to their own voice, really.
Now, Cindy, you say you were looking for answers when you started on this project.
Yes.
Did you find them?
I found more questions, I think, and that's what I love. I don't think anybody ever has the answers to anything, and I think if they do, well, they're a good liar. But even now with my current books that I'm doing, you know, I think if you stop questioning, then you've almost stopped living in some ways. I think curiosity is the thing that drives us all, and it's what really empowers us to influence and to change. And I think that's the really important part. I think, you know, I'm writing a current book at the moment called Seeking Wellness, and at the moment that's sort of generally a bit female focused, but I'm doing some seminars for men next year on this one as well. But, you know, it is it's all about not having the answers and seeking more answers and more depth to questions.
Mm. Now, you've called your book Mendemic, Inside the Man Cave, and
yes,
you've found, I suppose it's a bit of a play on the word, but you've actually described there as being an endemic in the male community.
Yes.
What is the problem that you're seeing there, and what do you mean by endemic?
So what I'm seeing is generally sort of men between, well, in the book I say 20 to 40, but since I've written the book, you know, I'm extending that age upwards. I see that men are really, really hurting, and they're not actually given the opportunity to voice what they need to, and they're being really dismissed, and I find that really, really unfair, because it's socially acceptable for women to talk about their emotions, but it's not as acceptable for men. And so I'm finding this group of men, particularly in this age group, who are going through life experiences, often potentially through divorce or separation, that a lot of them are very anxious, a lot of them are depressed, a lot of them feel quite trapped, you know, in their jobs or their careers or potentially their relationships or post-relationship through divorce and court. And I just find that they're almost just needing somebody to listen. And I'm finding that it's becoming increasingly more common. I mean, the statistics obviously go up and up and up for divorce and for depression, for suicide. Whether that's a sign that we're just more aware of what those statistics are now and whether they've always been the case, I'm not sure. But I believe that the problem is getting a lot worse, and I just find that it is an endemic. So, you know, I'm trying to obviously have that play on words for that age group. So that's, you know, the sort of the 20 to 50-year-old age group is what I'm really focusing, or what I particularly focused in on for the book.
And are you exposed to that through your work with Dads in Distress Services? Is that another avenue for men to perhaps just tell their stories?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So I began working with Dads in Distress over a year ago, and started doing some talks around local libraries about specifically my book, Mendemic and Men's Health. And I used to liaise with Dads in Distress and then also Men's Shed, and we sort of came together as a forum and as a panel to discuss men's health and actually make it acceptable to talk about it in the community. And I think that is really, that's a significant point, is to actually, like, when you stand up and say things out loud, it just makes it seem more real. And people are very, very quiet about talking about depression, anxiety and suicide. And yet there's such major contributors to, you know, to the death rate in Australia. And so for me, that was quite shocking. And so based on that, I did some work on the board for DIDS for a while there. And I'm actually working with a current board member at the moment on another book, which is we think is going to be called Dad's Voices. So similar to Mendemic, but Mendemic covers all men, not just dads, where this will be specifically dad's stories and dad's voices.
And we're speaking with Cindy Rockstein, the director and creator of Cindy Rockstein Publishing, but also the author of a new book called Mendemic, Inside the Man Cave. We're going to take a short break now, and we're going to listen to some music from Muddy Waters. This is a song called Hoochie Coochie Man.
The gypsy woman told my mother before I was born, you got a boy child coming, gonna be a son of a gun. jump and shout. Then the world wanna know what this all about. What you done here? Everybody knows I'm here. Well, you know I'm the hoochie coochie man. Cat bone. I got a mojo too. I got the John the Conqueror. I'm gonna mess with you. I'm gonna make you girls leave me by my hand. Then the world will know that I'm a hoochie coochie man. But you know I'm here. On the seventh day, on the seventh month, the seventh doctor said he was born for good luck, and that you see, I got $700, and don't you mess with me, put your arm here.
And that was Muddy Waters singing Hoochie Coochie Man. And we're speaking today with Cindy Rockstein, who is the author of Mandemic, Inside the Man Cave. So, Cindy, in the book, you've made a couple of divisions there. You start with the chicken, and then it goes to the sauce, and then you've got the ham. It's an interesting way of dividing them up. But what's your take on the fact men, you say men are definitely not chicken. Chicken parma, isn't it?
Chicken parma, yeah, like a traditional chicken parmigiana. So I guess it goes along with the stereotype of, you know, men liking a chicken parma and a pot of beer. And so I thought I would divide the book up into those aspects because it's relatable. You know, everyone knows what a chicken parma is and a pot of beer. And then when I sort of dug a bit deeper, the chicken parma actually, you know, originates from a different part of Italy, even though its name suggests that it's from the Parma region. So I sort of went with this theory that it's about dispelling myths as well. And so the way that I've broken the chapters up is, so for instance, in the chicken chapter per se, it is, you know, sometimes in life you feel you're free range and other times you feel that you're trapped like a battery hen, battery cage. And, you know, things like with cheese, like sometimes it's tasty and other times you're melted and you're absolutely stretched to your limit. So it's a metaphorical play on words to divide up stories that the men contributed and pop them into those categories because at times, you know, sometimes we're on top of our game and sometimes we're not, depending on what life can throw at us.
So, yes, I guess some men would identify with the battery cage comparison.
Yes, absolutely.
And a few of us might identify with the free range, probably not as many. But
And then you
move on to the Napoli sauce.
Yes, so sometimes we can all be a simple Napoli sauce and at other times we can have a bit of chilli and have a bit of spice added into it. And I think, you know, that's what's enriching in life is to add the flavour.
Yes, well, the stories themselves cover a wide range and they're all fascinating. They're little vignettes, really, aren't they? Just sometimes only a couple of pages, sometimes only one page. But
yes. The
men get the story across. Was your role to... Did you have to do a lot of editing of what the men told you or how did it work out?
No, not really. Like, the only sort of major editing I did was just general grammar and spelling and punctuation because I really wanted it to stay authentic and in their words. My part in the book is drawing all the stories together and making my own conclusions based on, you know, my population size, if that makes sense, my sample pool. And what I found particularly overwhelming with the stories I got, that men were struggling and were just reluctant. They just didn't have the chance to have their opinion and have their voice. And when they did, which they did in this book, it was really, really beautiful. They actually came out with just some really beautiful conclusions and resolution for their own life. And a lot of them had said to me afterwards that, you know, they'd held on to these stories sometimes for 30, 40, 50 years. And a lot of them are very, very painful stories and often about quite taboo subjects. So for them to be able to have that release and write it down, it was a very, very cathartic process for them as well. And a lot of them have put some of those issues to bed now, so to speak. So that actually doing this book really, really helped them find the resolution that they needed. And that's really the type of writing that I do, is that often we hold on to, you know, a painful story for a long time. And often even in my own writing, when you're writing, at the time it's really critical, you know, it gives you headaches, it can make you feel nauseous. But when you get that story out, it's like you sort of, you know, got your demon out, so to speak, and you've put it out in the public sphere and you've actually received beautiful recognition for it as your own personal story, as opposed to perhaps maybe feeling you might have been shunned for voicing your opinion.
Cindy, it's one thing for someone to write a story and it's quite another thing for someone to have it published. Did you find that the men who contributed were a little bit confronted when they actually saw their stories in print and in the public domain?
I think it was more the lead up to it. They were like, well, are you going to put my name in it? What am I going to do? And I always said, you know, you can change, you can do it anonymous, you can change your name, you can change your age, because often they thought that the stories might be confronting to their family members. So that was their major concern. But when it was published, they actually were really, really proud. And a lot of them had come up to me after saying, gee, I wish I'd put my real name to that. I wish I'd owned my story. And I really loved that they wanted that absolution in the end, that they said, you know what, this is my story and I'm really proud. And when we had the book launch, it was fabulous. We had 150, 200 people come and we had, you know, beautiful male speakers, and it was just one of those nights where, you know, the universe comes together, and it was a perfect night for everybody, because it was not a night about me. When I say my books are really never about me, they're about being the conduit for people who are writing. And that's my motivation for doing what I do.
Oh, it's good that they felt that way, because that's probably important for others who might follow them and decide to do the same thing.
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, even for me, when I'm writing about my own personal stories in my book, you know, it's very confronting, because you actually have sort of, in the first place, you have to admit there's a story or a problem or an issue, and then you have to sort of dig deep and get it out into some kind of logical form on paper, and then you have to own your own story, and that's the scariest bit. And then once you get past that process and it's there, you know, you've almost gone through the complete cycle emotionally of what you need to do in order to get your feelings out and the issue out, which might then bring up further issues, or it might also resolve some issues as well that you'd locked onto for a long time.
And we're speaking with Cindy Rockstein, the author of Mendemic, Inside the Man Cave. So, Cindy, the first story is disturbing, I suppose. It's the story of Lee, who's 45, and he's just really been an outcast his whole life. It's a moving story, and you wonder how people get themselves in these situations.
Oh, that's right. I think sometimes life is just so unfair to the most beautiful people, and a lot of men who have written in this book, their stories are just heartbreaking, because they've just been really dealt a pretty crappy hand in life. And for them to then have, you know, for them to suffer for the rest of their life and have it impact on their family and themselves. I mean, a lot of these men, just every day, just getting up and putting one foot in front of the other is just, you know, to be applauded for them. And, you know, I just think a lot of them are struggling, and particularly the first story, Lee's story, is one of my most beautiful and heartbreaking stories all at the same time. And I just find that that's why I wanted to open the book with his story, because I just found it really significant and really hard-hitting as well, that there's a lot of men out there who, you know, you see at work every day and they're, you know, they're off doing their job, but until you dig deeper, what they actually have to go through just to get up every day and go to work and be there for their family is sometimes, it just must take all their energy just to do that, just to be part of the community and society in general. So I just, you know, I really applaud all the men that contributed to this book, and then men who are contributing to future books that I'm doing as well. I just think it's amazing for them to take that step forward and to find their own courage.
And you cover a lot of cultural issues, like Patrick 39, who was Indian and
yes.
had to reject his religion in front of his parents, a major event in his life, and
yes.
It's covered very sensitively and demonstrates to us all the issues that are involved in it.
Yes, yes, that's right. I think, you know, particularly Australia being a huge multicultural society, you know, there's a lot going on behind the scenes that we're just unaware of. I mean, Patrick in particular, I studied university with him for 4 years, didn't really know his story at all until, you know, some 20 years later. So it's really lovely to be in touch and then, you know, look back at that time that we did study at university together and just think, you know, I sat next to you in lectures, I just had no idea what your life was like. And I think that's sort of, you know, fundamental for everybody going through here, is that you just don't know what that person next to you is going through. They might be in their, you know, be in their suit for work or off to their job, but, you know, just that's the whole point of Mendemic. And the last point, which is, you know, to sit down and have that pot of beer, is to sit down and talk to people. And I think, you know, just that alone is something that we've all lost, you know, particularly at the moment, you know, social media, et cetera. But just the simple art of having that conversation with someone, going, gee, wow, I didn't know you had that going on, like, are you okay? How are you managing? And I think then it's okay for that person to say, you know what, I'm really struggling with this, or do you have any advice, or, you know, what should I do? Or just simply listen to them. Sometimes they just need somebody to listen to them, and I guess essentially that's what Mendemic is.
Cindy, there are so many stories we could talk about, but we're running out of time as usual. We asked you if you could select a song to play, and I wonder if you could tell us which one you picked and why you picked it.
Yes, well, I picked an Eminem song, which is certainly not my normal genre of music, and it's called Not Afraid. And I really love it. I find it a really empowering song for men, because it is time for men to take that stand and to step forward. And it's absolutely okay for them to step forward and say, you know what, I'm needing some help, I'm needing some assistance, or I have a voice and it's worthy of you sitting down and listening to my story. And that's why I picked this song, because I find that it's a really empowering song for men, and it is time for men to take a stand and say, you know, here I am, listen to me, I'm worth listening to.
So this is Not Afraid by Eminem.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me. I'll get you there.
You can try and read my lyrics off of this paper before I lay 'em, but you won't take the sting out these words before I say 'em. 'Cause ain't no way I'ma let you stop me from causing mayhem. When I say I'ma do something, I do it. I don't give a damn what you think. I'm doing this for me. So fuck the world, feed it beans. It's gassed up. If you think it's stopping me, I'ma be what I set out to be. Without a doubt, undoubtedly. And all those who look down on me, I'm tearing down your balcony. No way fans are bust, don't try to ask him why or how can he. From Infinite down to that last relapse album, he's still shitting. Whether he's on salary, paid hourly, until he bows out or he shits his bowels out of him. Whichever comes first, for better or worse. He's married to the game, like a fuck you for Christmas. His gift is a curse. Forget the earth, he's got the urge to pull his dick from the dirt and fuck the whole universe. Words in the rhythm for you to know it's a rap. You said you was king, you lied through your teeth. For that, fuck your feelings. Instead of getting crowned, you're getting capped. And to the fans, I'll never let you down again, I'm back. I promise to never go back on that promise. In fact, let's be honest, at last relax, CD was aired. Perhaps I ran them accents into the ground. Relax, I ain't going back to that now. All I'm trying to say is get back to black loud. 'Cause I ain't playing around. It's a game called circling, I don't know how. I'll wait you up to back down. Trying to figure this crap out. Thought I had it mapped out, but I guess I didn't. This fucking black cloud still follows me
it up, time to put my life back together right now.
My decision to get clean, I did it for me. Admittedly, I probably did it subliminally for you, so I could come back a brand new me. You helped see me through, and don't even realize what you did, cause believe me, you. I've been through the ringer, but they can do little to the middle finger. I think I got a tear in my eye, I feel like the king of my world. Haters can make like bees with no stingers and drop dead. No more beef flingers, no more drama from now on. I promise to focus solely on handling my responsibilities as a father, so I solemnly swear to always treat this group like my daughters and raise it. You couldn't lift a single single on it, cause the way I feel, I'm strong enough to go to the club or the corner pub and lift the whole liquor counter up, cause I'm raising the bar. I shoot for the moon, but I'm too busy gazing at stars. I feel amazing and I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand.
And that was Not Afraid by Eminem. And we've come to the end of our show. Don't forget, we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. Go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au. Send us an email and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au. So it simply remains for me to thank our special guest today, Cindy Rockstein, author of Mendemic, Inside the Man Cave. Thank you, Cindy, for being on the program.
Thanks for having me, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Cindy. Nice talking to you.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks.
And we'll be back next week with another show from Dads on the Air.